Yeah.
I just, if you could repeat what you said. You said Jesus elevated their souls to the point that what did they feel or believe or...
Well, it's like the falling in love moment. He looked at them and they looked at him. He had a falling in love moment with them because he could see their souls. And they felt that, and they loved him back at the same instant. And that's what produced the healing. That's what produced the great miracles. And that's what the apostles had to get through their heads. Which they were a little bit dense in understanding how that process worked. And he told them, you know, you love me because I first loved you. And that's what you have to do. You have to be the first. Very few people are going to come out of the woodwork and love you. You have to love them first. And if you love them first and if they feel it, they will respond. And when they respond, miracles can happen. And it's very powerful. Love amplifies everything. Love is like a magnifying glass. A magnifying glass takes the rays of the sun and focuses them and gives the sun tremendous power. And love does that same thing. It creates a lens that takes the power of the soul that is pretty powerful to begin with, just like the rays of the sun, we can all feel them, but the power of love will magnify the powers of the soul, so the powers of the soul become extremely potent, so miracles can happen. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to do different things with healing.
So... in our healing circle, are you going to lead us and give us an opportunity to practice expressing that kind of love towards others?
Probably. I never have it planned 100% what we're going to do in the healing things. Just kind of play it by ear to some degree. I have it partially planned, but never fully. But we'll guide us as much as possible to be able to manifest that. Okay, we just have a few minutes left. Another thing with the law of correspondences is interpreting any of the words of wisdom of the past. And some of the greatest words to interpret are in the scriptures, and some of the greatest scriptures to interpret are the parables. So we'll just use the law of correspondence in interpreting a couple of the parables. First of all, there's the parable of the buried treasure and the pearl of great price. And it goes something like this. A guy finds out there's this piece of property has a bunch of gold buried in it, buried treasure. He stumbles across it, and he realizes it belongs to somebody else. So he buries the gold and hides it there. And then he goes to the person that owns this lot. And he sells everything gladly, it says. He will gladly sell everything he owns to buy that lot so then he can have the gold. Okay. And what's interesting, he says, gladly. He will gladly sacrifice everything. And Jesus says, this is like the king. This is a parable of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like this. When you realize that what is there, you will gladly make any sacrifice. And then he talks about the pearl of great price. The pearl of great price is like a merchant who collects pearls, and then he finds the most excellent pearl that has ever existed, which he calls the pearl of great price. And when he sees this valuable pearl, he will go and sell everything he owns. He will give up everything so that he can obtain the pearl. And he says, this is like unto the kingdom of heaven. Okay, now let's use the law of correspondences. In real life, very few people will sacrifice everything for the kingdom of heaven. Because it seems so far away. We can't see it. We can't feel it. We can't smell it. It's just something everybody talks about. So nobody has given up everything. But Jesus says, just imagine if you found a lot with untold riches buried in it that was far beyond anything that you own today. Say there's $1 billion worth of gold there and you have just $10,000 to your name. That's all you have is $10,000. but that's enough to buy this lot. It will take every penny you own to buy that lot. So you sacrifice and sell everything you have. You would gladly, it says, scrape together that $10,000 and sacrifice every penny you have to get this lot, because you realize the treasure there is worth many times more than that money that you could scrape together. Okay? It says, thus, this is like the kingdom of heaven, if you understand what the kingdom of heaven is. So if we really understand what the kingdom of heaven is, then we would be willing to sacrifice everything. Everything we own, everything we have, everything we can imagine that we have, to obtain it if we realize how valuable it is. The same thing with the pearl of great price. The merchant would sell everything he had to obtain this pearl, because the pearl is extremely valuable, the greatest pearl that one could imagine. So this great treasure, it would make sense. It makes sense to us. He says, it would make sense to you to scrape together, to sacrifice everything to get it, because it's worth so much more than what you're sacrificing. And that's the kingdom of heaven, to obtain the power of the spirit, the power of the soul, to obtain union with your own soul, to be able to establish a link between heaven and earth in your own mind. It's worth whatever sacrifice you have to pay. Whether it be relationships, whether it be money, whether it be time, no matter what we have to do, if we truly understood what is awaiting us, we would do anything. Anything that's doesn't create harm anyway. Because that's the difference. The path of harmlessness is the path that takes us there. Another parable I like is that really inspired me when I was young was I read in the scriptures it says, "Ask and you shall receive, knock and it shall be opened." And I first read this when I was about 16 or so, and well, that sounds good to me, so I'm going to ask a whole bunch of stuff. So I started asking a bunch of stuff, and nothing happened. I thought, well, it's not what it says. It says, asking you shall receive, and, you know, I asked a bunch of stuff, and I didn't get it. What's going on, God? And then as I was reading the scriptures, I come across this parable of the persistent woman, or the persistent person. And it was midnight, and this lady had a bunch of guests come, and she was out of bread. And the next door neighbor, she realized, had bread, and she needed 3 loaves of bread to feed her friends that came to visit her. So she went and pounded on the door and woke this guy up at midnight. And he comes out and he says, "Go away, leave me alone. I'm trying to get some sleep." And he says, "Yes, but I need some bread for my friends." And he says, "Well, go away. I need to get some sleep. Now go away." So he tries to get her to leave, and she won't leave. She continues to pound on the door. And he comes up to the window again. He says, "I told you to go away." So he tries to go back to bed. And she continues to pound on the door. Says, "Mister, I have to have this bread. Please, can I borrow 3 loaves of bread?" And for the third time, the guy comes. And he says, not because he loved the woman, not because she was nice, but because she refused to quit asking, he came and he gave her the 3 loaves of bread just to get rid of her. Okay? And he said, and then Jesus ended by saying, "Even so, ask and you shall receive." And I read that, and a light clicked on in my mind. I thought, that's what I was doing wrong. I'm not persistent enough. I just thought I just had to ask once, like this woman wanting the loaves of bread. She asked once, she didn't get it. She'd asked twice, she didn't get it. And finally, the guy, she becomes such a nuisance that to quiet her down, the guy gave her loaves of bread. So I got to do this with God. I got to be so persistent with God that he's going to say, just to shut this kid up, I'm going to give him a couple things. Yeah.
Well, did we not see that in the story of Martin Harris? You know, where he asked God over and over if show the manuscript to his wife, and God kept saying no. But by the third or so many times, God finally said yes. But was it a good thing in the end? He lost the manuscript. He didn't get to have that.
Yeah, in that case, it wasn't. So when you ask, you must ask something that's going to be beneficial. That's kind of the key.
Know that it's a good thing. I mean, that, yeah.
It was good that she had the loaves of bread, probably. You know, she was able to entertain her friends and feed them. But, yeah, if you ask for the wrong thing, that's a story that indicates that you also get that if you're persistent enough. Well, so, matter of fact, that's a statement in the Book of Mormon. It says, God grants unto men according to the desires of their hearts. So if the desire of your heart is good, that'll be good. If the desire of your heart isn't good and you can continue to persist, God will say, well, I'm going to give him what he wants, but he's not going to like it.
So in that particular case, he was not ignored. He was told no three times.
Yeah.
Which is different than being ignored three times. And so then the last time he asked.
Well, yeah, but the guy at the door, he said no three times too, though. When the woman asked for the bread, he said no three times. And then twice, and then a third time he finally gave in. But I find that to be true. I find to be persistent. Just to milquetoast question, well, God, well, tell me the mysteries of the universe. It'd be nice if I could know about them. And is there life on Alpha Centauri, by the way, or what? You know, and tell me all these things. Well, you're not going to get an answer. You have to put a lot of attention on it because energy follows thought. And it's not so much the person who is God who is going to come down and deliver these things to you. In the fact that it's the powers of godliness that's within you that delivers you the answers that you seek. You create energies because you are a person in the image of God. And because you're in the image of God, you have all the powers of God. And because you have all the powers of God, when you put enough focus or attention on something, sooner or later, something's going to manifest. So this is why it's important we focus on the right thing. World War II is a really interesting example of the powers of light and dark putting a lot of energy on their goals. I mean, the Nazis created a tremendous number of great inventions. The V2 rocket and all kinds of super weapons were on the drawing board at the end of the war, that if they had a little bit more time to develop them, they would have won the war. So their focused thought created all kinds of inventions and power, and the Allies' focused thought did the same thing. We eventually created the atomic bomb. So we had focused thought, the powers of godliness manifesting for good and evil on both sides, and fortunately the good won. And during World War II.